Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, it is Derek Felix off a special Hard Hits pregame, first ever Hard Hits pregame since we've been doing Hard Hits Network. Derek Felix here. Good afternoon, a beautiful Monday afternoon here in mid-May. Beautiful day, May 14th, as we got a lot of more stuff to do, some sports pregame to do as we pregame and preview. Game one. Game one of the Western Conference Final, NBA Conference Final, that would be between the Rockets and the Golden State Warriors. And we'll also be doing some NHL, big game two for the Vegas Golden Knights after losing the first game to those mighty, tough, very skilled Winnipeg Jets in Winnipeg. So a couple of big games going on. This is the first ever pregame edition of Hard Hits. So welcome to the program. We'll be joined momentarily by the one and only JPG, John G. Norio, will be joining me from Vegas, and we'll get a chance to do some NBA and talk a little bit about this just huge series that's coming up, series that I definitely expect to be excellent to watch, ebbs and flows. I'm sure there'll be a lot of points scored. Bring in with the NHL 94, the classic NHL 94 intro. That's what that was, of course, from. And I can't think of anything better to start a show off, to be honest. NHL 94 will always remain a classic game. So a little NHL 94. I'll start it off, just a quick recap from yesterday, of course, with the Celtics devouring the Cavs in Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Final, 108-83. The game the Cavs were never in, a game that the Celtics dominated from start to finish, using their youth, using their speed, using their athleticism to create mismatches, and also playing very good defense against the Cavs, who only made 4 of 28 threes and really struggled to get into the flow. LeBron James had a tough game as well, only 15 points, missed all 5 of his threes, turned it over 7 times. Marcus Morris did a lot of good work when he guarded. Of course, there was a lot of help defense, and the Cavs really never were into it. The Celtics, with the big 25-2 run, they really turned it on in the first quarter, and they never really looked back. The closest the Cavs got, they got it down to 14 points at the end of the third quarter on a Jeff Green buzzer beater, but the Celtics came out 7-0 in the fourth quarter. And that was when Terry Rozier went to work. And he didn't score a lot of points, but he wound up with 13, and Terry Rozier did his thing in that moment right there. And I'll tell you what, when you could have three 20-point scorers, 20 or more, with between Horford and Jaylen Brown, and, of course, Marcus Morris, and the Celtics using their speed to create either layups, mismatches, or get wide open threes. Horford certainly made a few. Marcus Morris made a few. Jaylen Brown. It's pretty tough. But it's only game one, and you have to think that the Cavs will come back with a much better game plan for game two, which is tomorrow night. So that's how I would wrap up as far as that game one. It was just all Celtics, and they did whatever they wanted to do in that game. And tonight, you've got the big matchup, the one that everybody's been looking forward to since the beginning of the season between the Rockets and the Golden State Warriors. The Rockets are the home team. Will that home court advantage mean something? If it gets to a game seven, I would have to say so. How much will it mean? That's the question. So let's bring in, for more answers on this game and on more NBA playoffs, let's bring in from Las Vegas, somewhere where everything's going on, the wheeling and dealings, on a day where they made gambling legal, sports gambling, that is, legal. And we can get into that, too. He is the one and only John Gennorio, Mr. JPG, Vegas-born. What's going on?
What's going on, Celtic Flex?
Not too much. Not too much, Mr. Rockette.
The Rockets aren't traditionally a rival of the basketball team that I claim to be a fan of. So I don't really know. I mean, it's odd when you say you're a Yankee fan, yet you love Mookie Betts. Oh, I have to have Mookie Betts. It's odd when you say you're a Knicks fan and you spend your entire life rooting for the Celtics. Oh, I've got to have the Celtics. It's odd when you say you're a Rangers fan, but you need the Bruins. Ah, I need the Bruins. I mean, pretty much the only Boston team you don't chill for is the New England Patriots.
Why would I? Well, there's no reason to chill for the Patriots or the Cheatriots or whatever you want to call them.
Why is there a need to chill for any of the Boston teams?
I don't chill. See,
the
difference between you and I is I respect those teams. That's the difference. I'm not chilling for them. I respect them. So
you respect
them.
Boston, why? What do you respect about them? Mookie Betts.
Well, Mookie Betts is definitely one of the best players in the game. I think we'd have no disagreement there. You define what – you know what? I'll give you the floor here. It's early in this pregame. The distance of hard hits. Define what the best player or one of the best players should be in your book.
Well, Mookie Betts was not the MVP a couple of years ago, clearly. I mean, not even close. But
he finished water up.
He was definitely more valuable.
He was more valuable to his team than Mike Trout was.
Definitely more valuable. Then why didn't he win the MVP if he was definitely more valuable?
Yeah, because the voters are all biased. That's why. They're biased.
Oh, everyone
they'd
is biased
they'd rather
except
vote,
you. Everyone's
they'd
biased
rather
except
vote,
you.
They'd rather vote for the guy that played on a team that wasn't a playoff team, that was below 500. Because of OPS and because of wins above replacement, your favorite categories. So,
you disagree with everyone about everything. Has it ever occurred to you that maybe you're the one that's wrong?
Yeah, I actually thought Mike Trout was more valuable to the Angels last year when he came back from his injury. I thought he was more valuable last year. You know, they actually made a push
for the
playoffs.
You didn't talk a lot about Mookie Betts last year. I wonder why that was.
He had a down year. He didn't hit for an average.
He did
have a down year. He had a disappointing year. But I actually thought that
back
Trump
now
was better last
four.
Year. I don't want to get into this with you today. I don't know. I'm just not in a mood to get into this debate right now. This is just a rage right now.
Why are you such a Boston fan? Like, you don't respect anyone in sports. Like
I'm gonna give you some. All right, Mike Trout. This is Mike Trout, 2016, when he won MVP. He played 159 games, scored 123 runs, which led the league. 29 home runs, 100 RBIs. Very good. 30 stolen bases, so he was one short of 30-30. 116 walks, led the league. 441 OPP, led. OPS, what was OPS? 991. And he won the MVP with those numbers. Those are good numbers. Those are good numbers.
Those are great. They're from a center fielder.
He also hit 315. He also hit 315. You know, Darryl Strawberry. Daryl Strawberry once had better numbers than that, and he did not win the MVP. But
did Daryl Strawberry play center field and was like a very good defensive center fielder? I can't recall.
He played right field. In 2017, Trout played 114 games because of his injury, right? He wound up with four more home runs. So he had 33 home runs, 72 RBIs, so 28 less RBIs, 22 stolen bases, steals. He also wound up with a .306 average, a .442 on base, a 1,071 OPS. And he was the main reason the Angels actually were in the playoff race. I actually think that was a better year. I think that was a better year than 2016.
I wouldn't have argued with him winning MVP again last year.
No, I just think I thought he was better. I thought that was better. You know, he might have hit 50 home runs.
Trout has gotten better every season he's been in baseball. I mean, like saying that he was better, he was still the best player.
Here were your top four, by the way. Your top four were Altuve, basically won the award going away over Aaron Judge, which I still do not understand. Jose Ramirez was, of course, from Cleveland. He was third, and Mr. Trout was fourth. And then you had Lindor and Betts, so 6, 5, and 6. So those were your top six as far as the most valuable player goes. Okay. So just to put it into perspective, you asked if Mookie Betts is one of the top players. He's definitely up there as one of the top players. I don't know, you know what you want me to say in terms of Mookie Betts. I like the way the guy plays.
I just find it odd. Like, you're such a hater, but for some reason you make an exception for all Boston. You are a hater.
I'm not a hater. Mike Trout's the best player in baseball. I've never – this doesn't mean that he has to win the MVP.
Yet every year you say he's not – you never think he's MVP. You thought Victor Martinez should have won MVP over him. I mean, come on, man! Like, I had to rile
you up a little bit, Mr. Giannario. You know, you're so gung-ho and you like to support the very best. What's the point of supporting the very best? Isn't it a little boring after a while? Doesn't it get boring? I mean, you've supported LeBron James throughout his whole career when he basically destroyed the Bulls. I mean, I find that a little disturbing. They put all their eggs in the basket of a punk,
and they got exactly what they deserved.
I find it a little disturbing that you support LeBron James. LeBron James was in the way of Derrick Rose and of the Chicago Bulls. So
Derrick Rose never would have. Derrick Rose is a loser. He's a born loser. He never would have won anything under any circumstances. LeBron James has nothing to do with that. Nothing. Derrick Rose's problem is Derrick Rose. He's a born loser. He never would have won. And there's really nothing more to it. Like, what does LeBron have to do with that?
You know what? I think that you've totally lost your mind, and that's okay. That's okay.
Nero never did win, so clearly I was right about that.
You celebrate injuries. I mean, Javi Baez almost got hurt again today.
I don't know who that is.
Javier Baez. All right. Jesus Christ.
I don't know who that is.
You know what? This is what I'm talking about. You are such a denier. You're a denier.
I don't know who that is. I don't know who you're.
You're a liar. JPG is a denier, crier, and liar here. Live on Hard Hits pregame at 6:44 on the East Coast.
I don't know what you're talking about, man.
At 5:44 Central Standard Time, where JPG used to be from in Chicago. We're out on the outskirts in a small town in Illinois, and at 3:44 Vegas time. And this is who JPG is. And I don't really understand why, but that's who he is. That's what you've projected yourself as.
JPG is just a normal guy. Just a normal guy. That's all JPG is.
You know what? I got one question for you. I've been dying to ask it. Have you ever looked in the mirror, seen what you're becoming, see you're projecting yourself as? Have you ever
He's
looked
going
at
to this,
mirror,
huh?
see what you're becoming, see what you're projecting yourself as? What have you become exactly? That's what I want
this,
to know.
This is such an old shtick from you. Like, I'm disappointed. Like, people tune into hard hits because they want something new. They want something that hits
you want
hard.
Hard hitting.
They don't want
you want
they don't
hard
want
hitting.
Recycled.
I'll give you a hard hitting. I'll go and guarantee a Golden State Warriors victory for tonight. Go take game
oh,
one.
Oh, you're guaranteeing. You're guaranteeing it. Okay.
I'll guarantee a Golden State win.
I assume that if your guarantee doesn't come true, you'll own up to it the way you did with Utah.
No, of course I'll own up to it. I'm guaranteeing.
You still haven't owned up to it with Utah.
With Utah?
Spider.
You and Donovan Mitchell, Donovan Spider, which is his nickname, Mitchell, you have a very odd OCD thing going on with Spider. I don't know what's wrong with it, but I think that there's an obsessive compulsion disorder with JPG and Spider. I don't know. Ever since you discovered that that's his nickname, you've just been going wild. You've been running wild like the Hulkamaniacs, brother.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not the one who made money betting on Houston in that series. That would be you. So I think if anyone's got a compulsion, it's probably you.
You bet in my name. I mean,
whose ticket is that, Derek? Whose ticket is that, Derek? Your ticket, okay? That's all I know.
I got one thing to say to you. What are you going to do, brother? What you going to do? When the largest 24-inch pythons in the business and steroids run wild on you.
I don't know.
What
I mean, I'm not $9 richer because I bet on Houston. You are.
$9? Oh, my God, man. You'd think if you were so confident, you could have laid down $20 maybe if you want a little more money, man. Holy crap. $9.
Hey.
I'll throw out some pennies, man, some penny loafers, man. I'll match that bet. Let's go. Come on, let's go. Rockets and Warriors, man. Break down the match of CPD against Steph Curry. The mouthpiece versus the knee. James Harden.
Curry's got a little bit of a knee thing going on. He does have a little.
I don't know what's worse, his knee or his mouthpiece hanging out of his mouth. Somebody should just punch his mouthpiece when it's hanging out, and then just break his teeth. Then he'd be out for the rest of the series. Because that's how most NBA stars are. Oh my God, my teeth are bleeding. Roll him out, take him out on the stretcher, man. Like D. Wade.
I remember that. He hurt his shoulder. Like, why do you need a stretcher when you hurt your shoulder?
Why? Because he's D. Wade. Like you said, that was one of your best nicknames.
What are you doing? Like, what the fuck does a stretcher do for an injured shoulder? Oh, I'll never forget that. That was terrible.
He was already a grandpa. I mean,
he was. Like, what are you doing? Oh, I need.
Maybe he's been married to Gabrielle Union too long already. I don't know, Gabrielle Union, whatever her name is. You've heard the term "black don't crack."
I have heard that.
She still looks the same, so maybe it's true. Maybe it's
She's surprisingly old. She's older than he is.
Dude, she still looks great. I mean, so there must be something to that. I don't know. Maybe that's why D. Wade can still play basketball. I don't know, even though you've denied it.
You know what?
Or should I say decry it? Decry. Look,
you are out of control.
You wanted hard hits pregame. You got hard hits pregame.
I did. I've gotten what I wanted.
What am I projecting myself as? Oh man, as a rocket launcher, maybe you're the new rocket man.
Rocket man.
Oh, today was a historic day. Jerusalem became the new whatever the heck it is, the new official capital, whatever it is, of the
They put the U.S. embassy there.
The embassy there, and of course Palestinians decided to protest and get themselves shot and killed. So, yeah, more chaos, and you know I'm an agent of chaos. More.
Oh, I. No Give one. No one is more into chaos than you.
Give me more. Give me more.
More chaos.
More chaos. More chaos. Let's go.
What kind of chaos do you want for today?
Something that involves James Harden and, I don't know, Kevin Durant having like a square off dance during a
game. I think that's going to happen. I think he's going to end up guarding him.
A dance off, maybe. Maybe they'll like go shot for shot or whatever. They'll play a game. I think they should play a game of fourth in the third quarter.
What about CP knee?
By the time the third quarter rolls around, I don't know. He might need a stretcher from guarding Steph Curry. I don't know. Curry's mouthpiece might be punched in by that point. If Paul doesn't get his way on the calls, he might punch him in the mouthpiece, which I'd like to see. A little blood. I'm a fan of blood.
Little blood. Little blood never hurt anyone, right?
Look, you got to make it a little bloody, you know? You know, look, if we're not going to have any hockey fights anymore during the playoffs, then I want some blood in the NBA playoffs.
I think hockey's better without the fake staged fighting, okay?
Not every fight is staged. I mean,
they're mostly staged.
I don't think staged fighting is good either. So, that's true.
Yeah, so I think the NHL getting rid of the staged fighting was like a step in the right direction.
That's true. Although, I'll never forget that brawl, that Pier 6 brawl between the Rangers and Devils in 2012 at the regular season game in March. That was pretty cool. Where I came out of the bathroom, I heard like all this like loud noise, and I knew there was like a brawl going on. And then there's like six different guys fighting all at once at the opening drop of a face-off. So that was pretty interesting.
Is there hockey tonight? What's going on with that?
You know, there is. Your Vegas Golden Knights, for the first time, they actually trail in a series. And they're going up against the very powerful Winnipeg Jets, who won 4-2 in the first game. They scored the first three goals. This is a real test right here. A real test for the Vegas Golden Knights. Can they bounce back tonight in game two?
Are they going to bounce back? What are you predicting? You're the
hockey. What am I predicting?
Yeah.
I'm not guaranteeing a victory, but I think it will be a one-goal game. I'm going to say 4-3.
Who are you favoring?
Winnipeg is favored tonight. The score will be 4-3. There might be overtime required. That's my prediction on the game.
I did not pick
a winner. I'm not picking a winner.
I'm putting you on the spot.
You're demanding me to
win.
Pick a winner?
I'm demanding a winner gets picked.
Man. Most people think Winnipeg's going to blow them away. I'll take Las Vegas in an upset. I'll take the Vegas Golden Knights in an upset tonight to even the series. 4-3.
Oh, wow. Is the game in Vegas?
The game's in Winnipeg. Yeah. So they got to deal off the whiteout. But I thought Vegas played, despite the fact that they fell behind, they played all right, and they got better as the first game went on. So I'm going to take Vegas in an upset and Marc-Andre Fleury to out before Connor Hellebuyck. By the way, here's a question for you. Are you a master speller?
I am.
How do you spell Hellebuyck? That's his last name. That's the last name of the Winnipeg goalie.
Is he French?
He's Canadian. No, actually, he's
French
American.
Canadian.
You know what? He's American, believe it or not. Hellebuyck. It's not how you would think it would be spelled.
Is it with a W?
Hellebuyck. Hellebuyck.
Yeah, I know, and it's you. You would think it's spelled with an H, but it's not.
No, it is. start with the H.
Oh, it is.
H. Hal LeBuck.
I don't know. Tell me. What's the weird spelling?
Capital
I would have thought
H, lower,
there was no H.
You know what? Capital H, lowercase e, LL. Now I'm confused. Okay. Capital H, lowercase e, lowercase LL, E, B, U, Y. There's a Y. CK. Hello, Buck. Hey, we've got a call from a 404 number. Should we take this phone call?
Yeah.
Oh, what the hell?
Just be ready.
What the
be
hell?
Ready to hang up if it's a troll.
What the hell? It's Hardhat's pregame. Maybe they got a prediction on the two games tonight. 404, you're on Hardhat's pregame. Welcome.
Yeah, what's going on, man?
Not too much. What are you calling about, sir?
I was just calling into the show. You said a prediction on two games. I thought it was just Houston. Another game?
Oh, okay. So, well, let me clarify. Yeah, you got Houston and Golden State, game one. And if you care, there's also, of course, you got game two of the Vegas Golden Knights and Winnipeg Jets of the NHL Western Conference Final. So.
Yeah. Okay.
You got
a
prediction on the basketball, right?
Golden Knights. That's, okay, that's interesting. But
okay.
No, whatever you guys want to talk about, man, I'm willing.
No, I mean you called in. I mean, do you want to talk about the Rockets and Warriors?
Yeah, I mean, I guess we can. I think we all know the outcome, unless Houston gets lucky and hits 23 pointers a game or something.
So who are you picking to win?
I hate Golden State with every fiber in my being, so I'm hating to have to watch this, man. What I mean, this is basically the finals, whoever wins in the West, and then whoever comes in there in the East, they're going to get their head bashed in. So I'm not too happy about the playoffs right now.
Well, JPG, what do you think, JPG? Do you agree?
I think the Rockets are going to get it done. I think they've got the personnel to defend Golden State.
I mean, if you want to say that, I mean, it sounds good on paper, but my Boutte and all those other guys, they can't guard Kevin Durant. And we know Chris Paul has always had trouble with Steph Curry. So, I mean, what's good about this?
I mean, people have been saying you can't guard Kevin Durant a lot of times, but last year was the only time that he actually won anything. So I think you can guard him. And I think the guys that have are the guys to do it.
If you send them to play with Russ, yeah, but if you put them on this team with, you know, other Hall of Famers, you know, it's a problem. I'm not saying this based on KD's greatness. I'm just saying this from that stacked team that they made that has kind of made me not like this era of NBA basketball. That's all I'm talking about. It's like NBA 2K.
I hate to agree, but I think you made the point that I probably was going to make. The Golden State Warriors, problem with the Golden State Warriors is they space you out. Houston does a lot of pick and roll, and they're excellent at that. And the most important player for the Rockets, it's not going to be James Harden, it's not going to be Chris Paul, it's going to be Clint Capella. And Clint Capella is going to have a big series, and he's going to be matched up against Dre Green. So that's a pretty interesting matchup. And when they space you out, though, like Durant, that allows Durant to do what Durant wants to do. So I don't know. They're gonna have problems slowing him down. But when you put all these guys together, it is like a video game. And I think you're gonna see a lot of video game scores because both these teams can really score. They can shoot the three. They can run up and down. So it's who can defend better and who can step up in the fourth quarter that will determine the series outcome.
Yeah. And like I said, the only thing I can see is 23 pointers a game, and like you said, Capella getting, you know, just crazy rebounding stats that he's never gotten before and just controlling all boards. But I don't know, man. It just doesn't sound realistic. But either way, man, you guys have a good show. I was just calling in to vent my anger at the NBA right now. Bring back David Stern and block him unfair deals. I want the strong arm of the law and that ridiculous short person back.
Oh, man. You know what? That was a great call.
Yeah, it was.
Thanks for calling. That was awesome. awesome call. I really enjoyed that. He made me laugh. I mean, I'm not. I'll be honest. I'm not a big David Stern guy, but Law and Order Stern got things done. So, I mean, I can't deny that. And he changed basketball. He got help from Larry and Magic, though. That really helped. You know, because before that, JPG, you know, the NBA, the playoffs, they weren't even live. Most of the games were taped away before Larry and Magic. Yeah, isn't that crazy? Yeah. You know how I found that out?
Something the NHL would do.
Yeah, I mean, the NHL, when it comes down to it, the NHL is so – they're so lost. They're so lost when it comes to how they promote, like, their sport and, you know.
Their stars, everything.
Oh, God. So it's like, see, who do you think they're rooting for? Like, do you think they're? I mean, the Caps have won two. They won. Their Caps are up 2 games to none on Tampa. They played awesome. Are they rooting for Ovechkin? The worst possible series out of the 4 teams that the NHL could have. Is it Winnipeg and Washington?
No, it's Winnipeg and Tampa, man.
Winnipeg and Tampa, yeah, it's Winnipeg and Tampa, even though Tampa's got a lot of great players. Yeah. What if they get Vegas and Washington?
I think that's probably, like, the best outcome for them at this point.
Yeah, it probably is, actually. So I'm actually going to agree with you and side with you on that. I think that our caller made some really interesting points, especially about Golden State. Like, don't forget, you know, we didn't even talk about Klay Thompson. And Klay's a real important player to this whole thing, because he's the best shooter. I like him better as a shooter, even though you could argue Curry's better. Curry's more explosive, but I think Klay's the better shooter, and he's a better defender too. I think, you know, maybe it depends on guys like Eric Gordon, JPG. Eric Gordon being an important player for the Rockets, got to knock down his shots. And
I think it comes down to Capella, 100%. Like, I'm not worried about it because I think he's proven that he's, like, a pretty elite player. But, no, they absolutely can't win the series without him being excellent.
Yeah, Capella – or Rockefeller, as I like to call him, really does need to come up, you know, the big series. He's going to have to be really good, you know, in terms of the interior, stay out of foul trouble.
He has to be able to stay on the court when they go small. I mean, he has to be able to play center when the Warriors have Draymond Green or Durant playing center. Like, he can't get played off the court in those cases. He's got to be able to stay and play.
Yeah, but I think every game will be. I don't think you're going to see too many blowouts. Yeah, I think these teams are each going to have runs during these games, and they're going to go at each other. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. So I expect it to be a long series. I'm going with Golden Gate, but I'm actually going 7 games. I go 7 games, man. I mean, they're going to win a game 7 in Houston. I'm going to go 7. I'm going the full 7. You like the Rockets and how many?
I'll take them in 7.
You will take them in 7. Brian believes it's going to be Warriors in 6. It's basically split. And Colin's going Rockets in 6. Rob's going Rockets in 5 because Rob Davis. Why would Rob Davis give the Warriors a chance?
I could absolutely see that happening. I mean, I wouldn't predict that, but I think there's definitely, like, a scenario where that's what happens.
I don't see it. I think these teams are just too evenly matched.
I don't know, man. Like, I think if it was, like, role players from a couple of years ago, like Iguodala from a couple of years ago maybe, but those guys look old this year.
Well, Iguodala is old. I think that we forget that. Iguodala is, he's got to be, like, 32 or 33 years old by now. maybe even older than that already. So you know, there's a lot of things going on in terms of, you know, where he's at. So since we're about 35 minutes into this Hard Hats pregame, got about 25 minutes left on the live as we continue to talk about the Rockets and the Warriors. Do you take anything out of what happened yesterday to the Cavaliers at all against Boston?
When LeBron plays as crappy as he played, they just have no chance. So, I mean, I would have to see him play that badly again to think it was for real.
Yeah. All right, I'm kind of agreeing. You know, they lose a game, they're not going to be intimidated, you know? They're not going to be intimidated. Didn't they lose the first game to Indiana as well? In that
they
first
did,
round,
yeah.
In that competitive first round. But, I mean, I think it's going to be a long series. So, I mean, it doesn't really surprise me. And I will continue to say that the Celtics should get rid of Kyrie Irving in the offseason.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt about that at this point.
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason to keep him, especially when you've got Rozier and you've got Jason Tatum. There's your backcourt. You got Jaylen Brown. They have a lot of good options there. And Iguodala, by the way, he turned 34, actually. So he's 34 now. And he's coming off the bench for the Golden Gate Warriors. So he's had a real good career.
He's going to have to start. Like, I don't think they can afford to play one of their clown centers.
You know, the only thing I would question with Andre, how many minutes can he give them?
I don't know. He's going to have to give them a lot, though, because, like I said, if they play like Looney or whatever, I have no idea why they have as many centers as they do. But if they play those guys big minutes, they're going to get crushed in those minutes.
Yeah. I don't really know. I don't really understand that either myself. So, I mean, he's actually a free agent after the year, so he's done. He's done after this year. So they're going to move on from him, obviously. So
yeah, I mean, people
definite.
Were saying, like, go with JaVale McGee. Like, are you kidding?
Yeah, JaVale McGee, Shaq's boy. He was a pretty good contributor last year. But
he's gonna get eaten alive, yeah.
he would get eaten alive, yeah. I mean, really. That's just not gonna work out. That's not gonna work out at all. So I mean, that's definitely not working out. And I always look at Dre Green. I know he's an asshole. Whatever, he's a pain in the ass, but he plays strong defense. Doesn't really need to get his points. But he's a guy that blocks, you know, that defends the interior, blocks shots, rebounds, distributes the ball. Occasionally will knock down that 3-point shot. He's a tough guy to match up.
I don't know about for the Rockets, though. Like, can he realistically stop on Capella?
Well, it's a great matchup, actually, you know. It's definitely a really good matchup to see, you know, what's going to happen. It's one of those matchups where you've got, I'd say Capella's a little more athletic. I mean, they're both athletic. They're both good. Capella might not be, they're different players. They're different players. I think Capella might be better in terms of blocking shots. He's better at blocking shots. He's good on the offensive glass. Draymond Green's maybe more of an overall, you know, guy who fills up the stat sheet. So I think it's an interesting matchup. I think it's important whoever can win that matchup, that will help determine who actually advances in the series.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting. I think that Houston has some tricks up their sleeve that they haven't really shown yet, and I don't really see that for Golden State. Like, I think we've kind of seen everything that they have.
How do you look at the how do you assess the two coaches, D'Antoni against Steve Kerr?
D'Antoni's a better coach.
You really believe that?
Yeah.
He's gonna have to prove it. He's gonna have to prove it.
Well,
you know,
I don't know if it's D'Antoni specifically, but whoever is coaching their defense is brilliant.
Well, I mean, D'Antoni has been here before. The style is a little bit different because it's really based on Harden with the pick and roll. I know that Harden is very tough. Harden's impossible to guard. You can't guard him one on one. It might come down to, you know, can Harden dominate the Warriors the way he that's important. That's an important part of it. Points. Can he average 32, 33 a game? How many assists is he going to average? How will the Warriors defend him? Are they just going to let him get his points? Are they going to try to take the ball out of his hands and try to make maybe Paul beat them with Paul matched up against Curry? That's all. These are all, like, interesting questions in terms of
I think Durant's going to end up guarding CP me.
So who does Curry guard? Who are you putting Curry against?
They're gonna try to hide him on one of the role players,
protect
like Ariza or PJ Tucker.
Yeah, you're probably right. Or maybe Eric Gordon.
He's gonna get roasted if he tries to guard Eric Gordon.
Gordon's a pretty athletic player. Could get to the basket, but he in this offense he's used as a flat-out shooter, so it'll be interesting to see what kind of series he comes up with. As far he's a streaky guy. He's very streaky, so you know as much as my dad does not like James Harden, I think he would rather see the Rockets prevail in this series because he's tired of Golden Gate, so. I don't really care.
I think the ace that the Rockets have up their sleeve is that they have that lineup where they play obviously Chris Paul and James Harden together, but then they play like the three kind of small forward power forwards, Ariza,
mm-hmm.
Tucker, and Bamute. And that lineup blew
mm-hmm.
people off the court this year. So I think if they lean on that, I feel like that's kind of something that Golden State might not be able to handle.
Possible. Yeah. I mean, very possible. This series is getting a lot of hype, and I think it gets a lot of hype deservedly so because it's one of those – it's a fascinating matchup. You know, it's like one of those old-school Western matchups, whether you want to go back to Spurs-Suns or you want to do Spurs-Lakers. You know, we've had some excellent matchups before. So you've got a fascinating matchup, and it's definitely going to be interesting and fun to watch. So, and that's exactly what we're looking at. In terms of the hockey game tonight, how can the Vegas Golden Knights slow down the Winnipeg Jets? Keep them off the scoreboard early. In the last game, before I even turned it on, Winnipeg already had scored. They scored on the first shift, a minute in. So, and when you, their crowd is the loudest crowd. They have like the best atmosphere. They have a Winnipeg whiteout, which is something they've had, JPG, since the old Winnipeg Jets, the original Winnipeg Jets, which are now the Arizona Coyotes. So, and the fans are very rabid. So, you don't want to let them score early. So, that means Marc-Andre Fleury is going to have to make some really good saves. And Vegas is going to have to forecheck pretty well. Get that first goal. Getting that first goal would be important. Their top line is pretty good with Wild Bill Carlson, your favorite player, William Carlson. Wild Bill, that's what they called. And you also have Riley Smith and Jonathan Marchessault. That's important for the Knights to get some secondary scoring. So whether it comes from James Neal, who's the gritty guy, or David Perron, or Eric Halla, or even Alex Tuck. They're going to need some secondary scoring, and their defense is going to have thought be a lot better. Defense turned over the puck a little too much in the first game. So I don't know if they can match the physicality of Winnipeg. Keep Winnipeg off the power play. If you put Winnipeg on the power play, they will hurt you. So Vegas needs to play very smart. They have to play smarter than they did in the first game to have a chance to even up this best of seven series. As far as time goes, JPG, game two of that series is going off at a little after eight. So I think faceoffs are around 8:10 or 8:12. That's the opening faceoff. And of course,
so
for
like
the
an
NBA.
Hour from now?
Yeah, an hour from now. So that would be. You know, you're lucky, man. You're on the West Coast, so this is an early start. The early starts
are
great for you.
Early here.
Everything starts early for you, man. You got to be very excited about that. We have the NBA pregame. We have there's that Chinese or the Asian sneeze by Mr. Giannorio for RSPG. And you have a 1 hour pregame. So even more time for Charles Barkley and Shaq to fight and argue, with Shaq flashing his rigs, his big rigs, which makes him all of a sudden he's more authoritative. He has to win every argument because he won rigs. Did you see that
whole
thing where they got
obnoxious?
He really is obnoxious. Let Charles speak, man.
He's also obnoxious.
He is, but by the way, if Charles takes your team to win, you're in trouble. So that's
who
the one thing. I don't know. Whoever he picks, they never win. He picked Toronto to beat the Cavs.
He hated Golden State. He hates Golden State. He hates LeBron.
He does. That's true. So it's a 1 hour pregame, which means tip off's not going to be until about 9:08 or whatever it's going to be, which is, I guess, 6:08 your time. Advantage JPG again. Advantage Giannorio. Yeah, Giannorio, man. I'm jealous. I wish I could take advantage of these early start times. Brian David.
Yeah. Brian David.
Brian David.
Brian David.
Do you know that Brian David's going away very soon?
Why do you have to phrase things like that?
Because I want to know if you actually know.
Oh my
Yeah. He just told me.
He's going to Italy, right?
Yeah. He's going to Venice, not Venice Beach, California, but Venice,
Italy, baby.
He's going first to Paris.
Beautiful.
Imagine Brian David in Paris.
Gay Paris.
I mean, what could happen with Brian David?
Anything. Anything could happen.
Yeah. It's a tough week for Brian, as you know. Cousin AJ. I think it's the 1 year anniversary. Of Cousin AJ.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's shitty.
Colin already just gave Brian David a warning. Watch out for Muslims in Europe. Oh, God.
Watch out for what?
Watch out for Muslims in Europe. Oh, Jesus Christ. Brian David. There are Facebook Benedict. This show's about to fall off the rails. Does it surprise you with 10 minutes left, basically, that we're going off the rails?
No, I'm never surprised.
Speaking of which, you know, there's 10 minutes left in this pregame show. I was reviewing my module two of my online studies for learning styles. I was looking at it, you know, I'm going through it, and I'm learning about all these different intelligences and these eight intelligences. And I'm thinking of this, and I'm like, wow, some of these are definitely me. So it was pretty good. And as I'm doing this, I still have the free baseball preview, so I put the Atlanta Braves and Chicago Cubs on.
Why did I give you the opening to do this?
Just hear me out here. It was a game of interest, so I decided to put it on.
Why was it a game of interest, Derek?
Well, because anytime you could take advantage of the baseball preview, you do it. And the fact that you had Cubs and Braves, two of the better NL teams, definitely interest me. It piqued my interest. So I watched the last three innings in between doing my readings. Close game. Very hard fought. Collins Braves were able to hang on for a one-run victory. 6-5. A game where I think that their second baseman, he continues to, like, seriously rake this Ozzie Albies guy. I think Albies hit another home run. He's got 13 home runs. This guy might be an MVP candidate if he continues to hit like this. And not surprisingly, the Braves did quite well against Jose Quintana because they have some right-handed hitters. So they had three home runs off of him. And Jose Quintana is not pitching well, actually. I didn't realize this. He's 4-3, but he's got over a 5 ERA. Not too good. But the Cubs bullpen shut it down. And the Cubs rallied, JPG. The Cubs started to make their comeback.
But luckily for you, they came up just short.
I wouldn't say that. They loaded the bases of the ninth inning. The Braves don't really have a closer. Like, who came in today? Minter? And they were just tagging him. Baez came up, and he smoked the ball. And whoever the Braves' third baseman was, he saved the hit. He saved the hit. He made this diving play. I think it was Camargo, because he must have come in for Jose. Jose Bautista is now playing third base for the Braves.
And I'm aware.
Run in this game. Camargo came in because he's the better defensive guy. And this ball was smoked. And he made this diving stabbed it with his glove to the left, and he threw out Baez, got him by a step. I mean, if he doesn't make that play, I think the Cubs probably would have won the game. Because after that, after Baez got robbed, the next guy, I don't know much about this guy, your other catcher, Caratini, was able to get a base hit up the middle between second and short.
So you're saying Baez wasn't clutch, but Caratini was?
Yeah, see, he failed to get on base. So,
okay.
Kyle Babe-Schwarber worked a walk, worked a 3-2 pitch walk, and then it was first and second. Alberto Mora is becoming even better as a center fielder, and he's hitting. I got a base hit to load the bases up. He had three hits today and a home run, his second home run of the year. And then your next batter got hit by a pitch. So there was an HBP. So an RBI HBP, I think, by Ian Happ. And that scored a run. And the Cubs looked like they were in prime position. They looked like they were in prime position to actually pull off this game. But the next two batters did not come through. There was a strikeout. And then Ryan lined one out to left field. They played him perfectly, and the game ended. So so the Braves hung on. Braves hang on for the victory. Takeaways. Ozzie Albies is very good. That's my number one takeaway from this game. The Braves still don't have a closer, so that's not good. If the Braves did have a closer, they could actually win the NL East. They might be able to challenge for the NL East, JPG. So.
Oh yeah.
That would be. Yeah, they're good. They have great lineup actually. So, you know, especially when you factor in Acuda, the top prospect. He's got three home runs already. You have, you know, Freddie Freeman and Albies. You've got, you know who's a real nice offensive player? He's not going to blow you away, but their center fielder, Inkiarte, is a nice player as well. So they know about this whole Jose Bautista experiment, but he's got two home runs that's being recalled. So I guess
it does make you angry.
You know who's actually, you know, actually the most underrated player on the Braves remains Nick Markakis, a guy that doesn't hit for power anymore, but he's hitting .346 and gets on base a lot and hits for average. So he's off to a great fancy start for the Atlanta Braves. The Nationals have been playing better though, JPG. So the Nats, I think, have won 5 in a row. So they're coming. As a matter of fact, the NL East, JPG, is much improved. The Braves, though, are 10 games over 500. They have the best record in the NL. They're 25-15 so far. The big matchup that's coming up, well, the Yankees have the Nats for 2 games, right? In Washington, mm-hmm. starting tomorrow. And Dollarbacks is going to be pitching one of the games. So I think he's pitching against CeCe on Wednesday. And I think Tanaka pitches tomorrow. I forget who's matching up there. The best matchup, though, you have 2 good ones. One, the Brew Crew against the Diamondbacks, 24-17 against 24-16. We've mentioned the Braves and Cubs. That's a good matchup. And the battle for the AL West supremacy, JPG, between the Angels of Anaheim and the Astros. So there you go. You got some good games, good baseball, good early May baseball right there, JP Benedict. And there's a big matchup.
Okay,
there's a big matchup, JP Benedict, right now. The Battle of Titans. The Tampa Bay Rays at the Kansas City Omaha Royal Crown Monarchy. So that's a huge matchup right there between two Titans. And let's finish this program, at least this live portion, this pregame, with this note. Yesterday, Jacob DeGrom came off the DL for the New York Metropolitans, right? So how many innings did Jacob DeGrom go in his first game back? Would you like
how many?
To take a guess? One. He pitched one inning. Apparently, he didn't give up a run either. He came back, you know, after they put him on the DL to start this game, and his pitch limit was 40 pitches. He loaded the bases. He got out of the jam. You know, the weather wasn't that great. There was some rain before, and they decided to pitch him anyway, and then he threw 40 pitches, and they took him out after the first inning. That's great management, isn't it?
I guess.
Oh, and you want to hear something more interesting? Their pitching coach, Dave Island, he said that Noah Syndergaard has pitched for 2.5 years and he hasn't accomplished anything. So it's a little bit of tough love from their pitching coach, Dave Island. Dave Island, who sucked and had, like, no baseball career with the Yankees. So he said that Noah Syndergaard has accomplished nothing. So I figured that would make you happy, but very excited. And
well, he really hasn't. He really hasn't accomplished.
True. As the live portion comes to a conclusion, Mr. Giannorio, do you have any final words of wisdom for this broadcast?
Oh, boy. No, not really.
Dan Wheeler, I feel bad for Dan Wheeler, man. His team is getting Ovechkin, man, and they're down 2-0 against the Washington Caps, man. And Rob Davis is very happy about that.
Why is Rob Davis so happy?
Because he doesn't want Wheeler's team to advance. He said it in the chat room.
Well, I can't blame him for that. I don't want Wheeler's team to advance either.
So I guess you're a Capitals fan though, or a Caps supporter. Okay.
I'm just anti-Wheeler.
Interesting. I like Ovechkin.
Now you're going to start calling me JP Capital or something. And it's
I'm not going to do it. I'm not doing that. I am not going to do that. You know why? Because this is a new and improved Derek, Flexi, and Felix. That's why.
Good.
That's why. So Derek Felix has decided not to do that to you.
Push buttons.
I've decided I'm not pushing your buttons right now.
Beautiful. I appreciate that.
Dave Island, who's been a pitching coach for a while. I think he was the pitching coach for the Royal Crown. He might have even been the pitching coach for the Yankees at one point.
Yeah.
He had a career record, right, in 10 years of baseball of 12-27 with a 5.74 ERA. So he knows a lot about not accomplishing things. So
yeah, I guess he's authority on it.
But sometimes these like horrible pitchers become good pitching coaches. So
doesn't mean he doesn't know how to coach.
No, he don't. Yo, I think Noah Syndergaard has matched Dave Island's career, already has more wins than Dave Island did in his career. Let's see here. How many wins does Noah Syndergaard have? Oh, he's got 26. He won 14 games in 2016. So he's done better than Dave Island. But Dave Island's challenging. He's challenging Noah Syndergaard to be better. To be the better man. Dude, I remember when Dave Island was a Yankee. Dude,
I just find this funny because like if somebody had said this about like Mike Trout, like if his coach had been like Mike Trout hasn't accomplished anything, you'd be all about it. But because it's insulting like a glorious Mets pitcher, you're kind of offended by it.
I actually agree with what Dave Island said. He hasn't really accomplished a whole lot. But he's Dave Island, though, you know? I remember when Dave Island was on the horrible Yankee teams at the end of the 80s. God, those teams sucked. And you know one of the reasons why they sucked? Because they had pitchers like Dave Island, who was a former seventh round pick, and he just got bombed every time he was out there. So, yeah. So I just find it ironic. I find it ironic. His last year with the Yankees, he walked more batters than struck out batters. He walked 23 batters and struck out 18. And he gave up 87 hits, including 51 runs, 72 and two-thirds innings. And it's been 13 starts out of 18 games. He was 2-5, Dave Island, and gave up 10 home runs. Ladies and gentlemen. Yes, Dave Island. You want to hear the scary part?
What's the scary part?
Baseball, he must have had some surgery. He pitched for the Padres for 2 years. Steve Island returned to the New York Yankees at the age of 28 in 1995. That was 1-1 with a 6.30 ERA, so he got even better in 10 innings. He finally finished his career, and then he was out of baseball from 96 to 97, probably in the minors, and finished his career with the Tampa Bay Devil Rays. And was even better forever. Never, ever, ever. So are all the Democrats really upset about today's big news story? Big news story.
Of course. Of course.
Yeah. So I've watched, right? I watched this, interesting documentary. This was for my other course last week, and I gotta say it was pretty sad. It was about education. It was about education, right?
Yeah.
Education in other countries. And, dude, it was freaking scary. And I'll tell you what I mean. I'll explain what I mean, actually. So you had, there used to be no real, nobody was encouraged to go to school in, India and, Kenya and, I don't know, in these third world countries, right? And, girls He didn't want girls to go to school. Afghanistan, of course, you know, because of the Taliban, the evil Taliban. Like, they were, like, against them, you know? So there was all this, like, crazy stuff going on. So they followed the path of these five, like, kids, I guess from the time they were, like, maybe young, for 12 years, right? So from the time they were young to the time they become an adult. And, like, this was like, an interesting documentary. So I watched it, and I learned a lot of interesting stuff, you know, just about how crazy it was. Like, the girl in the family, right? The boys were allowed to go to school in the morning. The girl had to work in the morning, work in the field, and she didn't go to school until night. And by the time she got home, she was the only one that was up. And then she had dinner and then went to bed. So I was just like, this is really strange, you know? So there's, like, strange stuff going on. So, I don't know. Maybe I'll find the link to it. If you're interested, you could watch and you could give me your insight on. I don't know. I found it very interesting anyway. So it's like about school. It's like about school in America, but this was a documentary about school outside America and about education. So it was really fucked up, to be honest. That's the best word that I can say at this time. It's too bad that JNF didn't join us for this epic pregame show. He missed out. He missed the chance of a lifetime. Yeah.
Chance of a lifetime.
The New York Yankees are 28-12, JP Benedict. How many wins will the Yankees get? Will they get 100 wins?
I think they will. What about you?
I don't know. I think they'll win the division, though, because David Price is afraid to pitch against the Yankees because they own him. Results.
Oh, yeah. Come on, David Price.
Oh, did I hear Rob right here? He said that.
Did you?
Servoir soon is monkey brains. Did the DM Jones and Temple do him?
Oh, man.
Monkey brains. I know that you like monkey brains, don't you?
Of course.
Who doesn't like monkey brains? It's a protein.
Yeah, that's what I say.
What about the barbecued crickets that they had? That was pretty interesting.
Oh, man.
or was it roasted snails? I forgot. On skewers. You know, they're actually coming
out. You're nuts, dude.
Am I?
Yeah.
You know, let me tell you something. There are places that have grasshoppers as food. I'm thinking about trying this out just to see what it tastes like.
Yeah?
You think this is a good idea for Derek Felix, or is this a bad idea?
I think it's a great idea.
Of course you do. You want me to suffer.
Yeah, basically.
So, do grasshoppers have any nutritional value? That's the question.
I'm sure they do.
Grasshoppers eat toxic plants? That's interesting. What about grasshopper eating? If I ate a grasshopper, would I die?
I doubt it.
What if they were chocolate-covered grasshoppers?
Good question.
Grasshoppers, listen to this. Grasshoppers are delicious and safe to eat. They're delicious, JPJ. Eat your grasshoppers.
Yeah.
But you have to cook them first. This will keep you safe and will kill any parasites that might be that they might be carrying. Oh boy. Don't attempt to eat them raw, or you may suffer health issues. Remove the legs or wings.
Oh man.
So we. I was hoping I could eat a whole grasshopper, and not turn it into a complete psychopath. But it sounds to me like you've got to be very delicate of your grasshoppers. You know.
True.
How about your snake? How about snake? How about the snake surprise that they had in Indiana Jones?
Yeah. You
that
can
loud,
eat snake
loud.
In Hong Kong for your ooze.
Did you really?
You can. I did not, but you can if you want to.
Wow, man. Maybe I should go to Hong Kong and try snake.
Maybe you should. Maybe you should try Jake the Snake.
Jake the Snake Roberts?
Yeah.
I've watched a lot of Jake the Snake, like, shoots. He's a very interesting guy.
Yeah, I think that's true.
Yeah. I wonder if Rob Davis would approve a snake surprise.
Yeah, good question.
Retirement Rob? Retirement
Rob? Retirement Rob.
What's the surprise? He cut the snake off and the little snakes come out. Oh, God. Can you believe they're going to come out? They're going to make an Indiana Jones 5?
No. Is Harrison Ford going to be in it?
Harrison Ford's going to be in it.
Oh, my God. He must really be desperate for cash.
So, yeah, you know, I don't know. I think they should have stopped after the third one.
Yeah, I would say that's probably right. But I don't know. I guess people like it or something.
Yeah, something like that. I see Rob's upping the ante. I'm going to ask Rob for one tonight.
Raising the stakes.
Let's see what Rob thinks. Neither. He's such an idiot. So wait. This is Rob's way of saying the Caps. He only sees the Caps winning. This is what I like about Rob. He likes to like do this. He likes to play this game.
Oh, yeah?
This game where when he decides like that it's one team's here, he just pretends that the other teams don't exist. Do you think Rob Davis is a little nuts? A little bit psychotic, maybe?
I mean, if you're saying he's psychotic, you're the expert, so I guess maybe.
You know, I got to ask you, right? In discovering
yeah.
what I discovered about the intelligences, so what are you? Are you musical, rhythmic, and harmonic? Visual, spatial? You probably are a little spaced out. Verbal, linguistic, like me? Bodily, kinesthetic? Interpersonal, which is also me, as well as intrapersonal? Naturalistic? Or logical, mathematical, and fanatical?
I don't know, dude. I'd have to read more about this.
What describes J.P. Benedict? I think that you would be logical, mathematical, since you're obsessed with stats.
I am pretty logical and mathematical, yeah.
Well, the eight intelligences are very interesting to read about, and I got the chance to read about them, So what I'm going to – I actually found an article. I found an article here from July 20th, 2010. I see Rob's being ridiculous right now. He's being a complete retard in our chat. This article actually helps define each intelligence. Each intelligence. So you could discover more about yourself, JPG, whether or not you're a spatial – you have spatial intelligence, or if you're just logical, mathematical.
Indeed.
So this is an article that will help you determine what your intelligences are, what your top one is, and what your maybe what else you tend to favor. It's kinesthetic, which movement, of course, and whether it's interpersonal and intrapersonal, if you analyze and like to write like me. So, what is your intelligence?
Analytical for your use.
Analytical?
Yeah.
So that means you're interpersonal or intrapersonal. Interesting. I thought you were going to be mathematical. You're a problem solver. Are you a problem solver?
Problem solver.
Oh, man. What is the biggest surprise right now? The biggest surprise in baseball? That Mike Moustakas is actually a pretty good ball player and needs to just get out of Kansas City.
Is he pretty good? I didn't know that.
He's having another good year. I think he's got like 10 home runs. Yeah. Like, it doesn't seem to matter that his lineup sucks. Like, he still puts up excellent numbers. Or is it that the AL Central is like one of the worst divisions ever that ever existed? That ever existed. Never ever.
Ever.
Yeah, I was talking to, you know, do you want to hear something interesting? Alex Gordon now plays center field for the Royal Crown. They've shifted him to center field.
Yeah, he was always a good defender. I'm not shocked.
Yeah, I was surprised because his batting average has gone up. But I don't think he's playing every game. You know, he's actually doing well for the Royal Crown.
Oh.
This is, like, shocking. Jorge Soler is hitting over 300.
Oh, yeah. I heard he was off to a good start. I wouldn't count on that last thing.
He's a 947 OPS right now. Very odd. I don't know what to make of it, J.P. Benedict. Yeah.
I'd be pretty shocked if that continued.
You've got a who's who of like batas for the Tampa Rays that weren't on their team. You have Hechavarria, who was originally a Ballin, a pre-Derek Sita Ballin. You have C.J. Krohn, who doesn't have anything to do with Crohn's disease, thankfully. Former Angel of Anaheim. You have Matthew Duffy, who is a former San Francisco Giant, that's hitting over 300. You have Wilson Ramos, who was a former National. I think Daniel Robertson is actually a Rays prospect. Brad Villa, I think, is a former Mariner. Carlos Gomez has been all over baseball and likes to showboat. And Rob Refsnyder is in the lineup tonight, hitting 176. So
nice.
Will Rob Refsnyder ever do anything? That's the question. Time is running short for him.
Yeah.
Are you a little sad that my boy is out of baseball? Yeah.
Who's your boy?
The personal Jesus.
Oh, Jesus Montero?
Yeah. He's out of baseball, man.
I cry myself to sleep. Yeah.
And cry yourself to sleep with some ice cream sandwiches or whatever.
Yeah, he likes those sandwiches.
Look, he was a fan. What do you think his favorite was? Was it vanilla? Was it chocolate or strawberry?
Why not a swirl?
A swirl? Man, you're getting more creative. You're getting much more creative.
I'm a very creative man.
Yeah. You know, he's from Venezuela, too. That's a shame. This man once hit 15 home runs in a rookie in his rookie year with 62 RBIs. But his career has been over. Over somebody saying, making a joke about an ice cream sandwich, and he went berserk. You know what? If somebody did that to me, I'd probably get angry too. I'd get angry.
Yeah?
I think I would. I'd probably be pretty upset. He had 317 with the Toronto minor league team and with 11 home runs, 60 RBIs in 2016. He was the last team he was with was with AAA Baltimore last year. He did not play much and only had one home run and 20 RBIs in 34 games. So he gave up on baseball. How did the Yankees do that? How did they, like, parlay a four home run stint with over 300 into BP Pineda? How did they do it?
Good question, man.
Mm-hmm. I mean, oh, by the way, the first thing that comes up for Jesus Montero is ice cream. Ice cream. I'm not kidding, man. Jesus Montero's rejection of an ice cream sandwich. August 29th, 2014. just ice cream sandwich. Just say no. As you might have heard, Seattle Mariners minor leaguer Jesus personal Jesus Montero reportedly got rather upset Thursday when a cross-checker scout told him he had an ice cream sandwich delivered to him in the Everett Aqua Sox dugout during a Class A game in Boise, Idaho. Wielding both a bat and the ice cream, Terrell charged the scout in stands before eventually being restrained, according to reports. Fortunately, there were no injuries, although the catcher did hurl the ice cream sandwich at the scout. Oh, my God. Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he was the personal Jesus. The White Sox serve $17 three-pound ice cream sundaes at their games in a batting helmet. Oh, boy. I've heard about that, but $17? Like, who's spending $17 on ice cream at a baseball game? Spending that much money on ice cream?
Oh, every day.
Just go hang out with Wheeler. Yeah.
Wheeler's drinking sodas.
Wheeler is a mess. Like,
yeah.
Wheeler, like, was on a roller coaster, and he had his hands, both his hands free, like he was a champion on the picture. I was looking at it. It's just like, Dan Wheeler is a nutcase. He's like, he's become like a complete nutcase.
Yeah, he's kind of an odd dude.
I think this is all because you turned him down. You turned down his offer to hang out with him. If he lost his mind, brain. That's another show that we should bring back, the Mind Brain Show. If we could locate Jeff Batchelor. Remember when Justin used to host the Monkey Chips? Monkey Chips?
Yeah, I do.
Justin used to have, like, the best introduction music. Everybody had, like, their own wrestling theme. Brian had, like, the best theme. He had, like, the best theme. Do you know that you could actually find the Chimp Gallery on Block Talk Radio still?
Really?
Yes, you can.
Wow.
I'm pretty sure that you can. This show is drawing to a close. Do you have a game one score for me tonight? For your Rockettes?
One 15 to 110.
Alright, I'm gonna go with my prediction, aside from pain, as Mr. T used to say, I will go with 123-118 in favor of the Warriors. That's my prediction. So, yeah, I know, very high scoring, huh? So that, what do they have to average? Wait a second. You know, I guess they have to average like 35, 36 points a quarter, huh? These teams can do it. These teams can do it. But imagine if it goes to like double overtime. How many points could these two teams score? Could they combine for like 300 points if there was like a double or triple overtime game? What do you think? Over 300 points or under? If there was like a double or if it was triple overtime, are they combining for 300 points in a game if it happens? Would you go over 300?
Yeah. I think it'd be hard to go over 300, but I think they could score a lot of points, no doubt.
You know, I think so, too. That's going to do it for this Hard Hits pregame show. So you got the picks there. You got JPG going with the Rockets. What'd you say, 108-103? You went 108-103, right?
Something like that, yeah.
Or was it 118-113? And I went.
Yeah,
I'm going one, and I'm going 123-118 in favor of Golden State. JPG dared me to make a pick for Game Two tonight, so I went against. I went against logic and went with the Vegas Golden Knights, a 4-3 win. So, and I think James Neal will score a goal. And there's nothing else to discuss. Next show, just tune in and find out. You never know when we'll be back on, but. This show is kaput, and thanks again for being part of it, buddy. The first ever Hard Hits pregame.
Yeah,
we did
it. Fun.
Yeah, JPG for John G. Norio, and this is the one and only Rex in Effect, Derek Felix of the Hard Hits Network. Make sure you tune in for our next show. We'll see you all next time, and enjoy the games tonight, folks. Winnipeg and Vegas getting underway in about 12, 13 minutes on NBC Network. And then about an hour and maybe 8 minutes away, game time between the Rockets and the Warriors. And what should be, I think, should be a classic series. So a couple of really big games right there. We'll see you all next time, folks. Have a good day and enjoy the two games. See you all later.
See you later, Flex.
See you later.